Somebody said that Baptists are two-thirds Trinitarian. And I think that's right. You hear it in a lot of our hymnody. We sing a song, and I really like the song. It's called Worthy of Worship. And the chorus goes like this. You are worthy, Father Creator. You are worthy, Savior Sustainer. You are worthy. Worthy and wonderful, worthy. Like, wait, we missed something. We actually change the words when we sing that to sing, you are worthy, Father, Creator, you are worthy, Savior, Redeemer, you are worthy, Spirit of power and grace, worthy of worship and praise. Something about our theology and our background has made us uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit, and that's not good. Because apart from the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will never know the resource that's available to us to transform our own lives, to redeem our families, to change the very city in which we live and the world in which we live. It's interesting, too, because the Scripture's not shy about the Holy Spirit. John's gospel particularly takes an extended period of time to sit with Jesus and the disciples at the Last Supper, and time again, he promises them that though he is going away from them, he's going to send to them the Spirit. And I want to share just a short part of that longer passage. We'll not start all the way back in John 13 where John does. We're in John 16. And we're going to begin in verse 7. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. And there the scripture says, very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Because unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But when I go away, I will send him to you. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will convict the world with regard to sin, to righteousness, to condemnation. With regard to sin, because people do not believe in me. With regard to righteousness, because I am going to be with the Father, and you will see me no longer. And with regard to condemnation, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more that I want to say to you about this, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And he will bring glory to me by receiving from what is mine and making it known to you. This is the word of the Lord. It seems right to me it's South Main, but what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit is the advocate. It's the Greek word for a lawyer. So the Holy Spirit is your lawyer. Think about that for just a minute. Really think about it for just a minute. Your advocate is someone who comes alongside of you in your time of need to guide you and to advise you, to give you wisdom and to speak on your behalf. And there are times in our lives where the Holy Spirit comes to us like defense counsel. Defense counsel comes to you in the most trying moments in your life. There may be no moment in any person's life where you feel less in control than if you're facing the law court. It's a terribly rainy day and you're driving and you can't see well and you make a quick turn and you hit someone and they're hurt and could I go to prison? Or someone sues your company and they say you have stolen their ideas. Could I lose everything that I have? And you become aware that someone you don't know is going to judge your case. And they have power over what's going to happen to you. Your life is about to be materially different. And what are my options? What's happening to me? And your lawyer comes and sits beside you and says, I will stay with you through all that is to come. And the best advocates have a remarkable combination of sensitivity and toughness. They have to be able to understand the people that they represent. They have to have a deep empathy and a connection to people. But they also have to be candid and direct. They're not just there to make you feel better. And so the Holy Spirit comes to us, and the Spirit is gentle, but not soft, and kind, but not weak. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you have an advocate, you have a counselor, you have a helper. And good advocates feel every rise and fall that comes in the cases of their clients. They are so there for you that it feels like they are with you in the trenches of life. And yet, they're not just there to be your friend. Your lawyer is an officer of the court, and their first duty is not to you. Their first duty is to the court and to justice. Their second duty is to you and your best interest, even if your best interest might not be what you think your best interest is. And so your advocate will tell you things that you don't want to know and that you didn't want to hear. And they will probe your memory and your excuses to get as clearly to the truth of what is going on as they possibly can. And they will fight to the end for your best interest. And that is the image, that is the name that Jesus gives us to describe the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. I have a lot to learn from those kinds of relationships. I sat down with Greg this week and I said, talk to me about being a defense lawyer. So, you know, when I was a young lawyer and I was just out of law school, I had a case that was set down in Brazoria County. You need to know Brazoria County, at least at that time, was a famously plaintiff-friendly venue. If you were a plaintiff's lawyer, you filed cases in Brazoria County because the judges were going to be friendly on your side. So he's defending this case down in Brazoria County, and the opposing counsel is not only an experienced lawyer in these matters, but he lives in Angleton in Brazoria County. And Greg's client, the company that he represented, wasn't really sure that they could get a fair shake in that county at all. And the lawyer representing the other side was pretty sure Greg's client couldn't get a fair shake in that county at all either. He was a little obnoxious about that when they spoke. He said, you know, I'm in my hometown. I'm in a jurisdiction that's friendly to my side of cases, and it's going to play to my advantage. So anytime you and I disagree about things, you better consider very carefully what you bring up to the court, because the judge is very likely to side with me. Well, they went down. Their first hearing was set. And as they're standing outside the courtroom door, opposing counsel reminded Greg, I just want you to remember, it's a plaintiff's county. And the doors of the court opened, and they walked inside, and as they were approaching the bench, the judge looked up and greeted Greg by name. Greg, what brings you down here? How's your Uncle Larry? And how's your dad Weldon? Would you say hi to your mom for me? And he went on to explain to the opposing counsel that he'd known Greg's dad and his mom, his whole family, for years. In fact, he's known Greg since he was a child because he vacations with Greg's parents. He and his wife love to spend time with them. His client got a fair hearing, should I tell you that part? Part of the mystery of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit is not only our advocate, He has existed from eternity with the judge. The Holy Spirit is the power and the dynamic presence of God in our Monday through Sunday lives, here to sit with us, to give us wisdom, to speak for us. In fact, the task of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is to guide us into all the truth. Truth gets a bad rap in our time. One of my favorite books in seminary was called Truth is Stranger Than It Used to Be. We have an unusual relationship with the truth. There's a phrase that has crept into our culture that troubles me. It's my truth. I just want to speak my truth. And every time someone says that, I want to say, look, you can have your opinion, you can have your perspective, you can have your experiences, but you can't have your own truth. That's just not how this works. But the world increasingly seems to think that is how it works. In 2016, the Oxford English Dictionary named post-truth its word of the year. And there are people who celebrate that we live in a post-truth world. You know who doesn't celebrate that? Anyone in a relationship. I have yet to find the person who wants to build their relationships on a post-truth foundation. In fact, you know what is, in my experience, the most destructive thing to relationships? Deceit. It's not the thing that you did that gets you, it's the cover-up. It's not the thing that happened, it's that you lied to me about the thing. I could have forgiven the thing, but you lied to me about it. And you kept lying to me about it. That is so toxic to relationships. And what's true of each of our relationships is true for all of our relationships. We certainly don't want to build a society apart from truth. Anybody think George Santos is going to perform well in Congress? Do you hear a lot of people saying, hey, the good news is he's been liberated from truth, so he's free now to be his creative best? Do you know how you can tell when a politician's lying? When their lips are moving. That's not a good joke. There's a consequence in our world for not being able to believe the people who represent us. Lies, like snowballs, start to roll and they gather mass until they can destroy everything that's in front of them. Truth matters. And Jesus says the Holy Spirit wants to guide us into the truth, wants to help us to receive the truth, wants to strengthen us in the truth, wants to help us find the truth. I like to say only the truth can bless you, and the truth will never hurt you. And you can trust the Holy Spirit when you ask him to guide you into the truth. Take me to a place where I know what's really happening. How does the Holy Spirit do that? Lots of ways. Let me name three. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth by speaking in Scripture, by pointing us to Jesus, and by making divine appointments on our behalf. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth by speaking in Scripture. The Bible says all Scripture is God-breathed. Another way to translate that fairly is all Scripture is breathed into life by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired the writing of the Scripture, has preserved the Scripture for us through time. And when we tend the Scripture, the Holy Spirit applies Scripture into our lives. And you've sensed that, haven't you? Sometime when you were reading the Bible and a word jumps off the page at you, a thought or a passage captures you because you know it's directly relevant to a thing that you're facing, maybe even that very day. Not every time. I wish it was every time. Sometimes we read the Bible and it's just like any other book, only longer and more obtuse. But there are times where even as we read it in that moment, we know what it's saying to us. And even when we don't feel that in that moment, you never read the Scripture alone, because the Holy Spirit is always with you, helping you, guiding you. And the Holy Spirit, who inspired these words to be written, wants them to transform your life. This isn't just paper and toner and type. This is truth on fire when it's under the direction and under the speaking of the Holy Spirit. This book has the potential to transform lives and to redeem families and to restore communities and to change cities and nations. Jesus said of the Spirit will remind you what I have said to you. If the Spirit's going to remind you, then you have to know what he has said to you. Which means if you want to have a stronger sense of the work of the Spirit in your life, read the Bible more. If you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, read the Bible more, because the Spirit can only remind you of what you yourself have read. And when you have read it, he will bring verses and stories and snippets and chapters and arguments and truth to your mind. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth by speaking through Scripture, and the Holy Spirit guides us into truth by pointing us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's not the only voice that speaks to us, is it? There's a voice that says, you're an imposter. You're a fraud. You're unworthy and unloved, and someday people are going to figure it out. And that's not the truth. If you will listen for the Spirit will tell you, despite appearances, it's an Easter world. This that we proclaim here, this gospel that we proclaim here, it is the absolute truth of God. And when that voice tells you you're just wasting your time, the Spirit will remind you that Jesus is right now sovereign over all creation, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, awaiting the day when he'll return in power, and you are his beloved. You were bought at a price. That God so loved the whole world, and God so loved you that he sent his Son for you. And you're not on your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. Not only has fallen fresh on you, it dwells within you. It intercedes for you with groans that are too deep for words. The Spirit guides us into truth by pointing us to Jesus and his redemptive and saving work in our lives. The Spirit guides us into truth by making for us divine appointments, appointments we're incapable of making on our own. The Spirit wants to guide you into the truth in all the things that you do, wants to order your steps in his word so that you can sift out what really matters from what doesn't matter, so that you'll have your priorities in order. And you'll know that you're in tune with the Spirit because sometimes the Spirit will call someone to your mind. Someone that you know you need to care for or tend. Or the Spirit will bring you to conviction about an opportunity, something you need to take up, or something you need to set aside. Or the Spirit will bring you to conviction about something that's before you, something that you're seeing, and you'll know, I shouldn't be seeing this. It's not good for me to be connected to this. Or the Spirit will bring you to conviction about a relationship and help you see your part in what has gone wrong. Pro tip, the Spirit will not bring you to conviction about what somebody else did wrong. The Spirit brings you to conviction about your part and what went wrong so that you can say, oh, I see that now, and I need to make amends. I need to apologize. And sometimes the Spirit guides us into the truth by making appointments for us that we could not make on our own. Just think about the last time that at just the right time, just the right person, happened to be in just the right place to offer you that word of care and comfort or correction and counsel. Think about the last time that you were that person who at just the right time was just the right place and saw just the right person, and you knew you had a word for them. You knew there was something you were to do for them. And you know, I didn't set this up. And you should feel a boldness and an empowering to act because God Himself has put you in a place to act, or God Himself has put you in a place to be reminded that you've not been forgotten, that there's a word for you, there's a provision for you, there's a care for you right here. The Holy Spirit comes to do the things we ask lawyers to do, to advocate for us, to counsel us, to bring to us wisdom, to bring us truth, and to set before us a course of action that leads to our flourishing and our good. Well,